resolutions to go through. We've completed the bylaws and constitution changes this morning. Some passed and some did not. I get that old frog in my throat. Mitch called him Homer. Gotta love that. And there's going to be a lot of other business to attend to. We don't know exactly what it'll be, because it'll probably be under new business, would be my guess on that. So that's going to get underway here in probably about 15 minutes or so. Had a good lunch. I went over to Red's Deli and actually had a corned beef sandwich. That was pretty good. And gulped down some lemonade with it. Nice to be in the air condition here. It's pretty hot here in Florida this time of year. All right, what I'm going to do is, let's see if we got an interview to run here. Actually not. We'll go ahead and, let's see, we've got, yeah, we'll run some music for now, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
From Orlando, Florida, this is live coverage of the 48th Annual ACB Convention. Now, here are your hosts, Larry Turnbull and Debbie Hazelton.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Larry Turnbull. Debbie is on her way. She'll be around here in a little while. She's off taking care of some other business. But things are going to get underway here real soon for the afternoon part of the general session for Friday, July 10th, 2009. Everybody's filing in after having a nice filling lunch. I ended up going by the deli just to save time because the morning sessions ended around 12:30, and well, actually it was before that that they ended. It was around 12:05 or so, and then I had a great interview with Mitch Pomerantz, who's been reelected as president of ACB. Gotta love it. As well as all the rest of the officers, Kim Charlson is the first vice president. Brenda Dillon is the second vice president. Marlena Lieberg as a secretary. And Mike Godino as a treasurer. All of them have been reelected for another term of office. And the next time that the election of officers will take place will be in 2011 at the convention in Reno, Nevada. Next year, in Phoenix, Arizona, elections will be for the actual ACB Board of Directors, which will obviously cover that when the next convention comes around. And also the Board of Publications will be having its elections as well next year. Because that's how it works. The elections for even years, it's the Board of Directors and the Board of Publications. For odd years, it's the Executive Board, which contains all of the ACB officers. It's about 1:15. So, just in case they're ready, I'm going to go ahead and bring the level up for the house. That way you'll hear the crowds as they come on in. Very close to it.
Sucky, yeah.
I think I'll get you.
freezing.
For those of you tuning in, we're just about to get underway, and there's Mitch at the podium, so we're going to reconvene the afternoon general session. So sit back, relax. If you have any questions or comments or anything, convention@acbradio.org. I have the email and the MSN up and running.
That's a promotion, is it? Are you going to... Start in a minute. Can you just tell me a number? Give me a number. Yep.
Let's get seated as quickly as possible. We're going to we have a few more.
If I don't get to call a roll call, I'm going to cry. You mean seven.
Ah, does that include the thank yous?
No.
All right. Not including the thank you resolutions.
Nine, not including the
two.
Oh, all right.
Not including the thank you resolutions, we have nine, but two of those have been withdrawn, so the actual number is seven. That's what I'm planning on. All right. Are you ready, Judy? All right. Somebody wanted to make an announcement.
Hello, this is Joe Sorensen from Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is a quick announcement. We, Celebration and Praise Soul Gospel Music Internet Radio, we have four T-shirts left. We're in the New Mexico delegation, and we would love to sell them today. Thank you very much, and I can use broadcasting skills even for quick announcements. So thank you very much here at this great convention.
Larry Turnbull, see this man about doing something for ACB Radio.
Mr. President, Ken Stewart.
Ken?
Yeah, have a quick point of information to share.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this morning there was, of course, very interested in discussion about shared spaces, and I wanted to call people's attention to the fact that there was an article in the Braille Forum.
Let's have your attention.
Thanks. An article in the Braille Forum called The Fabrics of the City, where the concept is described, and then there's some proposed ideas about how to respond to them. October 2007, The Fabrics of the City, and I'm pleased to
saying in October 2007, Fabrics
of the City is the name of the article in the Braille Forum. And in New York City, that the design ideas have been received favorably. They're currently working on one of these shared spaces in Lower Manhattan. So I personally would welcome people's ideas and reactions to that. And, I think we all need to be very informed about that, because as we speak, they're building more of these. Thank you.
All right. Door prizes. Want to thank Shelley Justice and Bill Spoon of the host committee for an outstanding job. You will hear from them the remainder of our time here. Plus, this evening, those of you who bought banquet tickets, and I hope there'll be more of you next year, but we'll have a good crowd tonight. We'll be giving out the remaining door prizes, because the committee did such a good job, we'd be spending all of our time giving out door prizes. So we got a couple.
How many do you want me to give, Mr. President?
Three.
All right, the first one.
We've got a large wind chime. I love wind chimes, so I'll just. And we have a candle that I'm really not sure. I think it's like apple cinnamon or something. It smells pretty.
Okay, wind chimes and a candle, gang. You can't go wrong with that. How about Stacy
Pasuk
from Honolulu, Hawaii.
She's right. Not here, but save it because she might be at the banquet tonight.
Okay, Leroy Welch from Butler, Missouri.
Is he here?
Here, all right. He gets it right over there. Okay.
This is one of those bowls and things.
Go ahead.
We have another one of these perfect measuring bowls with Braille-labeled measuring cups.
Okay. These are really nice, gang. You have nine measuring cups there. Okay. The winner is Charlotte Carroll from Clanton, Alabama.
Gone, okay.
Gone, okay.
By the way, Jay Doudna is now the delegate for Oklahoma. The delegate and alternate have departed.
Okay. Jackie Hanlon from St. Pete, Florida.
Is she gone?
Gone, I guess. Florida don't have very many people here. All right, we got Josette
Kernahan.
Kernahan from Bellingham,
Washington.
Okay. Here we go again. Whoops.
Aaron Moore
from Knoxville, Tennessee. Okay. Remember. Okay. All right, I'm going again here with
Janine Stanley.
Janine Stanley from Smithtown, New York.
Gone. Oh, Janine's
Bunny,
gone.
Yeah. Bunny McGinnis from Sullivan, Missouri.
Gone.
All right.
Well, that bowl's getting lighter.
How about, we've already called this, Betty Lethery from Lexington, Kentucky.
Gone,
okay. Kevin LaRose, LaRose from Tumwater, Washington. All right. Ann Foxworth from Austin, Texas. Okay. How about Shirley Cook from Sarasota, Florida? Ron Helper, H-E-P-L-E-R, Hepler. All right, gang, we're moving right along.
Oh, thank goodness.
We've never been so glad to see you in all our lives.
Maya
Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer
Ron's
from
here.
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Well, hold on. Bill, was that two or three that we gave out? Two. All right, we have one more to give out.
What?
What's the
Ron
name?
Ron is here. Okay, get it for
next prize.
Okay.
Shelley, what's the next one?
$25 from the Houston Council.
Okay, Bell. $25 from Houston.
Okay, $25 from Ashley.
Ashley Quickla, Bolton, Connecticut.
Bolton, Connecticut. Ashley
Quickla.
Okay. Harold Brewer from Forest City, Arkansas.
Okay. Good.
Hold your hand up, Harold.
He's here.
Harold! That's Santa Claus!
All right, let's...
All right.
Okay.
Calm down, Bill. Calm down.
Okay, calm down. Okay.
Yeah, calm down. All right, let's get back to business. Judy. We need a mic. We need Judy's microphone on. Life membership at 5:30 in signature 2, I think. And the banquet will begin at 7. We ready?
She's got a dead battery. Can I give her yours for a minute?
Sure.
Test.
They have to
turn it off. Hold on. We're swapping microphones. Judy wore hers out. The microphone battery.
All right, we're on, Mr. President.
Let's go.
All right. This is Resolution 0902, and it is regarding access to controls on appliances. It's brought to us by Barbara Mattson. Whereas the market for consumer and office electronics is great, and whereas the buying power of the disabled depends on their ability to use them and remain employed, and whereas home appliances, consumer electronic devices, and other office equipment that have traditionally relied on knobs, buttons, and switches that blind people can touch and memorize are increasingly being produced with touchpads and displays that can only be read visually, and whereas there are now buttons which can be located by touch but provide no tactile or sound feedback when they have been pressed, and whereas there are continuously rotating knobs whose settings cannot be determined by touch but which are displayed on a screen, and whereas there are no screen menus, particularly the more complex menus used on the sophisticated devices, which tend to change with no warning after a predetermined amount of inactive time has passed, and whereas technological solutions exist with controls that can be detected and operated via audio or braille output, and whereas resolution 2004-22 was passed directing the ACB staff to send a letter to trade associations of manufacturers of appliances and electronic devices and to other appropriate organizations, educating them about the need to consider the blind and visually impaired community when designing their products and offer assistance, and to meet with these entities. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 10th day of July, 2009, at the Rosen Center Hotel in Orlando, Florida, that this organization reaffirm the 2004-22 resolution, and be it further resolved that manufacturers be requested to arrange controls so that they are accessible not only to the blind, but to those who are deaf and with orthopedic and coordination conditions, and be it further resolved that ACB, through its Information Access Committee, is ready and willing to assist the Consumer Electronics Manufacturers Association and other trade organizations within the electronics industry and their members to reach this goal, and be it further resolved that the ACB Information Access Committee is directed to attempt to establish meetings with such trade associations and their members to implement the purposes of this resolution regarding access to controls on appliances. And the committee recommends a do not pass.
All right, so we would then need a motion from the floor to adopt the resolution. Hearing none. Is someone coming to a microphone?
Mr. Chairman, this is Ray Campbell from the state of Illinois, and I move this resolution be adopted.
We have a motion
second.
To adopt and a second.
Willie
discussion.
Jones, Willie Jones, Raleigh, North Carolina.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the first name.
Willie Jones, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Willie Jones, are you speaking in favor or in opposition?
In favor.
All right.
Well, I think this is a very important resolution because more and more items are being made inaccessible because you can't use the buttons. And it's necessary that we pass this so that they can be aware that we need these buttons, and I vote that we pass this resolution.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. President,
Marlena Lieberg.
Marlena Lieberg.
I rise to speak in opposition of this resolution. I have a lot of concerns about the way in which it is written. It completely leaves out all of the work that AFB are doing. They are our partners. We are already working with them in conjunction with the Information Access Committee. They participate yearly in the Information Access Committee meetings, and I have a great concern that our partners are left out. Secondly, although I certainly have concern and empathy for access to appliances by people with motor coordinative difficulties, that is not our mission as the American Council of the Blind, and I'm concerned as to how well and expertly we could handle that portion of the resolution. And thirdly, I'm not clear where we, how do I say this? I'm not clear what our legal mandate here would be and where our heavy hammer would be to bring about the some of the resolve clauses of the resolution. And while I think in spirit it's wonderful, in actuality I don't think that it's doable, and much of it is out of our purview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, Lisa Javutsky from New York.
Lisa.
Point of clarification. Could we hear from the chair of the Resolutions Committee why they do not recommend a pass?
All right, Judy.
Excuse me. What Marlena just said, though she wasn't at our committee, we must have had a microphone into her room, because she virtually stated everything that the committee talked about.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. All those in favor of the motion from the floor to adopt this resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion is defeated.
One moment. Let me.
Oh.
I am pulling up the next one.
While we're thanking folks, as I was earlier, I want to thank Carla Rusheville, the chair, convention coordinator. Organizing a convention of 1,200 plus folks, I don't hear, I'm sure, half of the problems on a daily basis, but I hear enough of them. It is a very difficult job, and of course, prior to the convention, Carla and I spoke probably twice a day, every day, including Sundays, for the probably 2 months prior to the convention. There are more details involved in putting on a convention than you can imagine, and it's quite a detail-oriented job. And Carla, we thank you for your hard work. You ready, Judy?
Yes, sir. I am. All right. This is Resolution 0903. This is Price of Technology. This also is brought to us by Barbara Mattson. Whereas the blind and disabled often live on lower incomes than the average citizen, and whereas enabling this population to increase their income often requires the ability to procure technology to assist in this endeavor, and whereas in many states, funding to buy such technology is non-existent, thus leaving many otherwise employable, handicapped, unemployed, and whereas the technology often needed is priced to cover, let's see, one moment. And whereas the technology often needed is priced to cover our B, and D that may be...
R and D.
Oh, there we go. There we go. There we go.
We're getting that confused with R, F, B, and D, which is a different issue altogether.
Yes. Here we go. R and D that may be based on more competitiveness rather than real need, and whereas part of the cost is also for manufacturing in smaller quantities that could possibly be increased if companies weren't bearing competitive R&D costs. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 10th day of July, 2009, at the Rosen Center Hotel in Orlando, Florida, that the ACB staff or directed committee be instructed to send a copy of this resolution with any added urging comments to all major manufacturers of products for the blind and visually impaired, and be it further resolved that state affiliates, chapters, and ACB members also canvass manufacturers with these same ideas. And the committee recommends a do not pass.
All right. Therefore, is there a motion from the floor to adopt this resolution? Hearing none, the recommendation of the committee is accepted. The resolution will not move forward.
One moment.
Let me thank Larry Turnbull, the new manager for ACB Radio, and all of the folks, all of the programmers who assisted Larry this week. And I won't try to name them all off because I don't want to leave anyone out. But Larry just took over May 1st. He's doing a fantastic job. It has done so in a very short period of time. Let's give him a full round of applause.
Mr. President, Jay Bader from Florida.
Jay.
Just one real quick thing. We had been told earlier that Ron Hepler was in the room and won a door prize. We need to know which delegation you are in, Ron. So if you could please wave your hand or stand up and we can deliver your door prize.
Virginia. They say he's in Virginia.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry? Okay, well, when his name was called, no one told us that. Okay, so we'll have another door prize to draw when we get to it.
No problem.
So we only gave two away. Thank you, Jay. You ready, Judy?
Yes, sir. All right, the next one is 0910, and it is on urban parks. And the maker of that resolution was Ken Stewart, and he has withdrawn it. So we will go to the next one. All right. All right. The next one is 0915, and it deals with the Department of Justice, and it is brought to us by Margie Donovan. Whereas the Americans with Disabilities Act is, for the most part, complaint-driven, and whereas the Department of Justice has repeatedly indicated that people who are blind do not file enough complaints, and whereas, in spite of these assertions, when complaints are filed, they languish for years with no action taken. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled on this 10th day of July, 2009, at the Rosen Center Hotel in Orlando, Florida, that this organization strongly urges the Department of Justice to commit to responding to complaints at a minimum within 1 year of their receipt. And be it further resolved that the president of this organization is hereby instructed to convey this resolution to the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder. And the committee recommends do pass.
All right. Is there discussion on this resolution? Get to a microphone. I will probably possibly
Chris
make
Gray,
a couple
Mr.
of
President.
Comments. Like, who seeks the, who's that?
Chris Gray.
Chris.
Of course, I'm in favor of this resolution entirely, but there is one minor problem. I believe the word minimum
exactly
ought to be the word maximum.
Exactly. That's my point.
All right. Other comments?
Oral Miller concurs totally and was getting ready to make the same point.
Great minds think alike, Oral.
I have a quibble, though, with the first whereas. It talks about being complaint-driven, and I don't remember the word before that.
All right.
Large part.
That's really not true. What's complaint-driven is the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice. So if we want to be accurate, we need to either say, whereas the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice or the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division is largely complaint-driven, or not make that statement.
About action by the Civil Rights Division is largely complaint-driven.
Okay, but I think that, because the Civil Rights Division of DOJ is only one really relatively small part of their overall function. Can we make that change? Would anyone object to including that?
Yes.
You got that, Judy?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion?
I just have a question.
Oh, well, Marlene has a question.
I'm sorry. I obviously missed something here. So the bottom line is that the intent of this resolution is to request that these complaints be responded to within a maximum of 1 year?
Yes.
And that's the bottom line?
I believe so.
So to achieve that, this resolution has us sending a copy of the resolution to the Attorney General.
That's as I understand it.
Would it not be more beneficial to have some language in there, not just sending on a resolution, so what, we sent it, but to encourage, and I don't know what I'm asking for here, so somebody may need to help me out, but to encourage some dialogue, just to me, I guess what I'm saying is sending a copy of the resolution, encouraging this, it feels like it's just going to go nowhere, and so we sent it, and there you go. If we really want to impact this, then we really need some more action in the resolve clause.
The way I would, if I may, try to be helpful here.
Please.
I think what you're getting at is perhaps inserting before the call to send a letter a clause indicating that we endeavor to arrange a meeting with staff.
Yes. Yes.
Of the Department of Justice to work toward more expeditious
Yes.
Handling of complaints?
Complaints, yes.
Mr. President.
That feels as though it has many more teeth than what
Let me,
what
hold
says.
On.
Bonnie.
Let me, well, how would you, how would the committee feel about that kind of language, Judy?
That's fine, no problem. So we'll put that right before the
consensus. Does anyone not agree with that addition? Okay.
Thank you.
I heard a partial call from the floor.
Well, Mr. President, this is Bonnie Thompson.
Oh, Bonnie.
And I would like to speak against this resolution.
Okay.
Our experience in Mississippi has been very positive with the Department of Justice. We filed a lawsuit.
Let's have order, please. I'm sorry, Bonnie. I hear mumbling in the back.
I wonder if maybe some individuals might have had problems, but it might not have been across the board with the blind community, because when we filed suit against the paratransit system, the Department of Justice came down very quickly and started looking into the situation, and it decided to join with us as we filed that suit. So I don't know if they really have been that hesitant to listen to our complaints.
Bonnie, if I may, speaking as at least up until the end of last year, a professional dealing with these folks, the average time for complaint investigation with the Department of Justice is 3 to 5 years. You were really lucky.
Mr. President, Thompson, Hawaii.
I'm sorry?
Thompson, Hawaii.
Don, all right, go ahead.
This is an almost out of order statement, but in listening to this and other resolutions, I find that too many people are looking so specifically that they don't give the president, the board of directors, and other people in charge their head to try to figure out what needs to be done. And I'm tired of it. They're writing a position paper instead of a resolution.
All right. Thank you, Don. Any further discussion on this resolution? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion is adopted, or the resolution is adopted.
One moment. Cleaning up the writing.
I want to, this is giving me a chance for thank yous. A special thanks, and I thanked them Sunday evening, but a big thanks from me personally to all of the professional and administrative staff at the National Office in Arlington and our staff in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. We are very fortunate indeed. We are looking at the broader perspective, a not-for-profit organization that is would never be considered in the top 1% in terms of what we pay our staff. That's just a true statement, folks. Wish it were otherwise. And so these folks are extremely dedicated. They're certainly not in it for the money. They're in it because they believe in the cause, the same cause in which we believe. Ready, Judy?
Yes, I am ready. This is Resolution 0916, and it is on the Kindle 2 reader, and it is brought to us by Penny Reader. Whereas, in the past, people who are blind or otherwise print blinded have
The term is usually print disabled, but
yes, you know You know what? It was a when it translated, it just, let me fix it real quickly. There we go. All right. Otherwise, print disabled have had relatively few choices in terms of the books which they could obtain, and whereas with the release of the Kindle 2 reading device, both large print and text-to-speech audio are built in, and whereas this would potentially allow people who are blind or otherwise print disabled to access the over 200,000 books that have already been made Kindle compatible, and whereas elements of the device are also inaccessible, and whereas a coalition of disability organizations have come together to demand that all available books and an appropriate user interface are made available for the Kindle 2, and whereas publishers and authors are now claiming that the text-to-speech option constitutes an audiobook which should not be available on the Kindle 2 unless specific royalties are paid to authors, and whereas in addition, whereas, in addition, a range of periodicals are also being published, now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind and convention assembled on this 10th day of July, 2009, at the Rosen Center Hotel in Orlando, Florida, that this organization clearly and emphatically regards this issue as of paramount importance, and be it further resolved that the membership wishes to be kept fully informed about developments in this matter as they occur, and that the membership expects a full report on progress that is being made to be provided at the mid-year president's meeting and at next year's convention, and be it further resolved that we expect that representatives of the Reading Rights Coalition be invited to speak to the whole convention next year if this matter is not entirely settled. The committee recommends a do pass.
All right. Is there discussion? The coalition, actually, Penny, not... coincidentally, I guess, or maybe it was, they asked that all of the participating organizations pass a resolution going on record in support of the activities of the coalition. So this dovetails well.
Mr. President, this is Marcia Dresser from Massachusetts.
Marcia?
I just have a little grammar thing. You know, we teachers get annoying.
Yes, you do.
In one of the clauses, it said a range of many periodicals are being recorded. It should be either a range of many periodicals is being recorded or many periodicals are. But a range is singular, so.
Okay. Hold on. You have that, Judy?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Who seeks the floor? Marlena has a question.
Do I have? Oh, there I am. Okay.
Let's have order.
In one of the clauses, Judy, where you made mention, I believe you said something like, and whereas authors and publishers consider, I don't know your exact words, a text-to-speech to be an audiobook, that clause... I'm not sure that it's accurate to say that. I think that there are certainly, due to the extensive work of the Reading Rights Coalition, that we do have some authors and publishers who are seeing things perhaps more our way. And so I wonder if you could just maybe not make that quite a declarative of all authors and publishers.
Can I respond to that?
Well, hold on, Penny. Let me suggest that perhaps most would solve the problem.
Yes, I would be happy with most.
I would say several, even. It's not all of them. It's the Writers Guild. You could say the Writers Guild. The Authors Guild.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's hold on. Let's.
There's another little grammar thing.
Well, hang on a second. Okay. Penny, because just by saying several or most, that's one thing. But where would you put, unless Judy's gotten it figured out, where would we put the Authors Guild in there? It's in there already. Okay. All right. Are we going to use most or several? I would say
several.
Well, you and I might disagree there.
Okay, I don't care. I just want you to pass it.
Yes,
most.
I think. Yeah, I think our experience and Melanie and Eric have been on most of the calls, and I've been on a couple of them. But
Random House is not a small organization. So.
No, there are six. Just to clarify, there are six major publishing houses, and most of them are still taking that position.
Change it to most.
Yeah. So let's change that to most.
And it also says a coalition have. It should be a coalition has.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. I hope you all adopt this resolution. It's so important for us to be able to read. And this resolution, although I submitted it with Paul's help, it's a LUA resolution. So we hope you'll adopt it. Thank
right.
you.
Do you have the thank you? You have the changes, Judy?
I'm there, yes.
We're adding most and changing had to had. Any further discussion?
Doug Powell, Virginia.
Doug?
Point of information. I would like to ask, I didn't hear in the resolve, or maybe I missed it, that the resolve sounded like it was demanding information, but it did actually affirm our membership in the coalition. Am I accurate in that?
I think I was on the phone for part of that. No, it doesn't. Do you think that it's necessary?
Well,
we are a member of the coalition.
Pardon? Yes.
We are members of the Reading Rights Coalition.
Yes. But, Marlena just mentioned, or someone just mentioned, the fact that all of the organizations in the coalition were asked, or the other organizational members of the coalition were passing resolution affirming. And
oh, I see where you're going. I
think that this first resolve clause ought to be something about affirming our membership in the coalition.
Yes, okay. Judy, something like American Council of Blind affirms our membership in the Reading Rights Coalition and then go on from there.
Okay.
God, I spent too many years on the resolutions committee. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The resolution is adopted. And Penny, this all came up, and with the press of other business, remember we had an agenda to put together to get out to everybody, but we will have a report at the president's meeting, and we will endeavor and should be able to get a representative of the Reading Rights Coalition to the convention next summer, although I should point out that we are a member of the coalition, and so we are here at the convention. I didn't want to state the obvious, but... the tickets, remember, the life members get one free drink, alcoholic or otherwise, I guess. And those tickets are, actually, we may be past time. I hope the table is still, or the tickets are still available. If you haven't picked up your ticket, if you're a life member, you need to go to the registration table, I believe. Okay, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
All right.
This is Resolution 0917, and it is on last-minute convention programming. This is brought to us by Penny Reeder. Whereas events often occur after the convention program has been completely planned, and whereas it is important that the membership of this organization are informed about the most current issues so that they will be able to help the national organization with advocacy efforts where necessary. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 10th day of July 2009 at the Rosen Center Hotel in Orlando, Florida, that this organization respectfully requests that in the future, the program committee leave at least 30 minutes on the program schedule of the general session on Monday or Tuesday of convention week, which can be filled by issues that only emerge after the program has been established. The committee recommends a do pass.
All right.
Kathy Casey, New
York.
We've had
a motion to adopt by the committee. Kathy Casey.
Yeah, I would vote against this also because it is very difficult to run a convention. Anything can come up at the last minute. There is a convention email list that if anyone is on, I understand not everyone has email, but the convention email list does have all the updated information. And I think any opportunity is done to make any last minute changes. Thank you.
Can I respond to that?
Other discussion?
Can I respond to that, Ms.?
Sure, Penny.
I'm on the convention list, and it seems to me that issues.
A little closer, Penny.
A little closer there, Penny.
How's this? Better?
There you go.
Maybe it doesn't work. Does it work?
There it is. You got it.
Okay. So I'm on that convention list, and it seems to me that there's lots of information about tours and special interest affiliate events, but there's not much information about important issues. I'm talking about things such as the opposition of the Authors Guild to the Kindle to text-to-speech engine. Last summer, about a week before convention, the DOJ released proposed changes to the regs for the ADA, but it barely came up at our convention. I really felt that if it had come up, I'd have been more likely to write letters and more likely to submit comments. I know ACB submitted comments, but I think if it had come up and it had been on ACB radio, a lot more people would have been well informed about the issues. And there might have been more response from ACB members. I just want a little bit of time at the beginning of the program to talk about things that come up after the program is already written in stone. And so I hope you'll pass this resolution.
Other discussion?
Mr. President, Ray Campbell speaking against.
Ray?
I'm rising against this resolution. I think that we have plenty of opportunities within our program to make changes as needed. I know that having sat on stage a number of years with our past president, Chris Gray, and having been at these conventions for a number of years, I know that great efforts are made to make time to bring in last-minute things that we need to know about. And also, we do have a process for changing our program and our standing rules that allows us to, if changes need to be made, all that has to be done is the body needs to approve those. I think that we've got enough safeguards in place that we can handle any last-minute changes that do come up. And I think our president and leadership of this organization is cognizant enough of the things that need to come up that we can make those adjustments where necessary. I don't think this resolution is needed. Thank you.
Any further comments?
Mr. President.
Give your name.
Oh, sorry. Marlena Lieberg, if I can remember it.
Go ahead, Marlena.
Let me wait for a second because I was going to speak in opposition. So
let me just comment, and I'm neither obviously, well, not obviously, I'm neither for nor against this. I did not finalize my president's report until the day before, no, 2 days before we left. We left a week ago Wednesday. I didn't make my Braille copy and finalize my report until Monday.
Thank you.
Marlena?
Thank you. First, I want to say to Penny that I really agree with the spirit in which she has raised this. My concern with it is that there really does have to be some structure within the program setting guidelines. And people say each year, gosh, you know, it goes on and on and on, and we don't get to the business till the end of the week. And so I can see that this could create more of that sentiment. That said, ACB Radio is always here, always waiting, looking, happy for people to come over. If you want to get a message out on the radio, you will never be turned down. So please use that as a resource for getting information out to folks listening and attending.
All right. All those in favor of adopting this resolution signify by saying aye. Those opposed?
No.
The motion is defeated. The resolution is defeated.
One moment.
Mr. Chairman, I have a quick announcement to make.
Thank you, Sharon. Yes.
Yes, we were just cleaning up the communications center, and we found a thumb drive, and we do not know whose it is. So if you have a thumb drive, please check your pockets, and if you are missing one, you can claim it at the information desk.
Better their thumb drive than their thumb. All right, are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right.
This is Resolution 0920, and it is on talking books, and it is brought to you by the Resolutions Committee. Whereas, since 1934, the American Foundation for the Blind has produced talking books for people who are blind or otherwise print disabled, and whereas narrators have provided untold hours of pleasure to untold thousands of readers over the past 75 years, and whereas the American Foundation for the Blind, because of a complex financial situation, has determined that it has no choice but to close its recording facility and end its involvement in the production of talking books. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled on this 10th day of July, 2009, at the Rosen Center Hotel in Orlando, Florida, that this organization wishes to convey our deep appreciation for the many thousands of talking books that have been produced over the years, and be it further resolved that this organization asks the American Foundation for the Blind, the National Library Service, to work to see if there is any opportunity that can allow a talking book program to continue to operate even after the AFB closes its offices. The committee recommends a do pass.
All right, we have a motion to adopt this resolution from the committee. Discussion?
Mr. President, Lisa Javutsky from New York.
Lisa.
I'd like to propose a friendly amendment that the Library of Congress be included in that listing in the last section.
Hold on, let her finish.
Where you list AFB and
the NLS to include the Library of Congress.
All right.
The library, hold on, just for clarification. The National Library Service is a part, no, it's a part of the Library of Congress. The overall entity is the Library of Congress. So you would be...
So that's assumed then in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'd just like to strongly speak in favor of the resolution. I think it's a very important message to get out, and I know that our speaker on Wednesday would be very happy to hear this.
All right. Other discussion?
Mr. President.
Hearing, who's, I need to hear a name.
Jeff Cohn.
All right, Jeff.
I'm not going to say a whole lot, and I'm certainly not opposed to this resolution, but I just wanted to say, as someone who obviously shares his concerns and who also wears the hat of someone who is on the AFP board, that this was a deeply difficult decision that board had to make, and that no one liked making that decision. And if there had been any way around it, they certainly would have made a different decision. And if there is certainly any other opportunity to have a different decision being made, they certainly would do so. So I have no problem with this resolution whatsoever. And I'm just, you know, speaking from my AFB board hat as well, I just want to say that this was a deeply saddening decision for all of us. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, Don Horn.
Don Horn.
Can you read for us the last resolved clause? It sounded to me, but I want to hear it again because I may be wrong, like you're implying that the Talking Book program itself will stop, and that's what I want to make sure that it doesn't say that.
Certainly. Be it further resolved that this organization asks the American Foundation for the Blind, the National Library Service, to work to see if there is any opportunity that can allow a Talking Book program to continue to operate even after the AFB closes its offices.
Okay, that sounds to me like the Talking Book program will cease if AFB pulls out.
Mr. President, this is Paul Edwards. I think
Paul,
we
Paul Edwards, go ahead.
I think we would solve the problem if we did, if we simply added in New York City or its environs, and that would clarify that we're speaking about this particular program.
It's, no, Mr. President, I'm not leaving New York City. Mr. President, why not just say...
Jeff, Tom, okay.
Even after the AFB terminates its Talking Book program. We're not leaving New York City, so that would be the better way to put it, I think.
But that's already there, Jeff.
Already there, yeah.
It's the earlier part that we need to fix.
Mr. President, Pratik Patel. So
we could probably just put the AFB Talking Book awards.
Yes.
An element of the AFB Talking Book program, or the remnants, or the... I don't know.
The remnants. Well,
or the Talking Book program at the AFB.
I think what we could say, in the interest of moving on, Mr. President,
let Paul finish.
Is that the committee
Mr. President,
recognizes?
Josette Kernahan speaking.
Josette, please.
Yes.
No. You need to listen to the person ahead of you.
I'm sorry.
The
go
committee
ahead,
recognizes what the problem is, and we'll find an appropriate way to fix it if the body is minded to leave it to us.
Mr. President?
Josette Kernahan.
Josette Kernahan. I just wanted to recommend that the word asks in that portion we were just talking about be replaced with request.
Have we resolved? I'm sorry. I'm trying to deal with something.
Okay.
Have we resolved the previous issue, Judy?
Well, no, because we haven't had a meeting.
Go ahead.
We just haven't made a determination about Paul's question, if this body will allow the committee to fix this.
All right. Is the...
Pat Beatty.
All right. All right. We will do that. The committee will clean that up and make the appropriate addition. There's been a request...
Pat Beatty?
No.
All right.
I'm going to try and answer one question before getting another one. So Josette had indicated that the word asked should be replaced with the word requested. Madam Chair?
That's fine.
All right. Does anyone object to that? All right. We'll do that. That's why the founding fathers of the United States took so long to write the Constitution. One of the lessons you learn is to do everything possible not to write resolutions on the floor or rewrite them too much. Any further discussion?
Pat Beatty. The suggestion to the people are going to massage this a little more. The issue is that AFB has ceased to be one of the producers of talking books for NLS.
Yeah, I didn't hear most of this because I was trying to deal with the life member ticket issue. So, Judy, are you up to speed on all of these proposals?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anyone else?
Mr. President, George Corey from Cincinnati.
All right, George.
Maybe with all the confusion on this motion, because I'm really concerned with what's happening with our libraries. They're passing on their problems from one city to another city. I'm afraid it might go from state to state. So I'm going to recommend that this motion be referred back to committee for further study and then presenting.
I'm going to declare, first of all, George, this really isn't about that. It's strictly related to the talking book, the recording of talking books. So that really doesn't address, or what your comments are about, don't address this resolution. I'm going to declare your motion out of order. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting this resolution with the appropriate changes by the committee signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the resolution is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, Carla Rushful.
Carla.
See, we are trainable. Just a quick announcement. There are a few drink tickets left for the Life Membership Reception. If you have not received yours, please go right now to the registration table to pick one up. They will be there giving them out for about 10 minutes.
Thank you, Carla. That's why I was on the phone and on the radio and on everything else. Are you ready?
Give me half a second. Okay. Here we go. This is Resolution 0919. It's on schools for the blind, and it comes to us from Brian Charlson. Whereas Oregon, Iowa, Virginia, North Carolina, Illinois, and Kansas have all experienced threats to the ongoing viability of existing schools for the blind, and whereas in Oregon, this has led to the closure of their school, whereas schools for the blind constitute extremely valuable options for blind students in the continuum of educational services mandated by law, and whereas many schools for the blind operate outreach programs which make services available to students who are not directly enrolled in the school for the blind, which significantly impact the quality of education available to mainstream blind children, and whereas evidence clearly demonstrates that the short-run savings achieved with school closure are outweighed by increasing costs of delivering services for a low-incidence population in each tiny school district, and whereas there is increasing evidence that the total inclusion model does not integrate children, but rather isolates them, and whereas many school districts are utilizing teacher aides instead of qualified and specially trained vision teachers to deliver instruction in blindness-related areas such as home management, braille, listening skills, and access technology, must now therefore be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled on this 10th day of July 2009 at the Rosen Center Hotel in Orlando, Florida, that this organization rejects absolutely all of the specious assertions that are brought forward to justify the destruction of schools for the blind, which are vital to the capacity of this country to continue to offer blind children an appropriate free public education. And be it further resolved that this organization shall work cooperatively with the Council of Schools for the Blind, COSB, the American Foundation for the Blind, AFB, the Association for the Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind and Visually Impaired, AER, to create a set of specific recommendations which all of the organizations will commit to implementing. Be it further resolved that these shall include strategies for publicizing the value of schools for the blind, the creation of state caucuses of legislators focused specifically on issues of relevance to people who are blind and visually impaired, training programs that can be utilized to educate stakeholders as advocates, and such other approaches as this coalition of organizations may deem appropriate. The committee recommends a do pass.
Mr. President.
We have a motion from the committee for a do pass discussion.
Mr. President.
Russell.
I haven't heard any names.
John Gormley. I would wonder if the committee would consider it friendly on the first, I believe it's the first clause where they name all the states, if they would add a "and other states" to that. I'm not sure whether we've missed anybody, but I would rather make sure we included everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Louisiana.
Yes.
Mr. President.
Ann Byington.
No. Let me halt. Let me make something really clear. I'm not recognizing anyone until the questioner has his or her question answered. So there's no point in even doing that. Judy?
Yes, sir.
Can we?
Yes.
All right. Consensus? Everyone in agreement? Now we can hear from others who wish to speak.
Ann Byington,
Kansas.
A friendly amendment in the whereas clause talking about children being integrated isolated. You might want to say blind and visually impaired in front of the word children, just to make it clear who you're talking about there.
I'm sorry, Ann, can you tell me again?
It's the whereas clause.
The inclusion model? Is that the one?
I can't remember what it starts with, but it has...
The word to look for, Judy, is isolated? And Anna suggesting inserting blind and visually impaired in front of children.
Before the word children. Just to clarify, it's a picky thing, but...
Got it?
It says to integrate. Let's see. But the total inclusion model does not integrate children, but rather isolates them.
Well, that wouldn't be the...
Yeah, that would.
Hold on.
Let me.
Anne is saying, Judy, is there's a place that refers to children without specifying which children. And that's the place.
Yeah, got it.
You got it? Okay.
Yes.
Mr. President, Darian Fleming.
Darian Fleming?
Yes, I'm wondering if...
Closer to the mic, though, Darian.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would just like to ask if I could make a friendly amendment to the list of skills that are specialized that children who are blind need in these public schools, because I think it's a really important skill that can't get left out by implying that it should be there, and that is orientation and mobility. And this comes from a person who skipped orientation and mobility after school because they maybe take driver's education.
Here, do you
Darian, driver's ed was one of my favorite classes. Yeah, in the last century, they made us take it. Judy, that all right with you?
Yes, sir.
Any objections? All right.
Mr. President, Stuart Russell.
Stuart Russell.
I believe there may be a problem either with the wording or with the reading of the wording in the sentence that mentioned the word tiny. And I wasn't sure whether you were meaning to say... I believe you read tiny school districts. Perhaps you were meaning to say tiny populations. Could you read that again, perhaps?
What word are you referring to, Stuart?
There, the clause that has the word tiny in it.
Judy, are you?
Yes, sir, I'm there.
Okay.
And that it says tiny school district.
Tiny.
That doesn't make sense.
All right, let's have order. Come on. Reread the whereas clause, Judy, please.
Yes, sir. One moment. Getting to the top of it. Okay, here it is. And whereas the evidence clearly demonstrates that the short-run savings achieved with school closure are outweighed by increasing costs of delivering services for a low-incidence population in each tiny school district.
I'm wondering.
Go ahead, Stuart.
If the,
let's have order. And let's not have yelling, please. That's not going to get my attention or anyone else's up here.
I'm wondering if the word, if the elimination of the, just eliminating the word tiny would make the sentence stronger.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Just try it.
He's suggesting. Come on, we're all getting tired. He's suggesting, Judy, we just remove the word tiny.
I did.
Could you read it without the word tiny? I'd like to hear how it sounds. Would that be all right?
No, I don't think so, Stuart. We got your point, and and it sounds fine with the removal of that word.
I just wanted to be sure.
It does.
Mr. President, this is Marcia Dresser.
Marcia.
As a person being employed as a teacher of visually impaired students, I totally am in favor of this resolution. I just want to make one correction, if it's okay. Instead
sure.
of vision teachers, we're teachers of visually impaired students.
Pat Beatty?
Nope, not yet. I am confirming that each change is okay with the committee chair.
Yes.
And that she concurs, and that there is consensus from the group.
Yes.
All right. Now I'll recognize Pat Beatty.
Thank you.
Thank you. Returning to where the word tiny was, I think if we used the said local school district, that would be more accurate. That's exactly what the issue is. It's the local school districts are the ones that incur then more expense. It's
Judy,
called LEA, Local School District, Local Education.
Local
agency.
Education.
Agency.
Agency. No, agency. Judy, do you want
yes.
to
yes, sir.
Insert? All right.
Yes, sir.
Any disagreement?
Mr. President.
You need a name.
Cynthia Taylor, Louisiana.
Cynthia.
Yes, sir. And I would like to make a friendly amendment that Louisiana be included in the listing of schools that were closed. Our school was closed, but really they transferred to being in the same building with the deaf school. So the actual blind building was closed, but they moved with the deaf school. They combined with the deaf school.
Yeah, what that whereas clause says, Cynthia, is that the blind schools in these states have been threatened in various ways, and I know earlier we inserted at the end of that list of states and others or something to that effect. I don't think we specifically included Louisiana, although.
That's what I was asking. Yeah. Louisiana could be included with Kansas and North Carolina and all the rest of them.
Yeah, Judy?
Yes, sir.
I think that's, how do you feel about that?
That's fine.
Mr. President?
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. President? This is Twan from Sacramento, California. I just heard that somebody read a very short statement that I pretty much oppose, but one word I would like to alter with it, changing from access technology to adaptive technology. Thank you.
Did you get that, Judy?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You wanted to change assistive to adaptive.
Yeah, assistive would be fine, or adaptive, either word would be fine.
I don't think
access technology is a very good word.
In my opinion. Okay. Well, and I'm sorry. Yeah, assistive technology is broader. Both are used. They're both appropriate. And I got to say something, folks. I think we have this discussion not every year, but every couple of years. It's really difficult, it's certainly difficult on the chair of the committee to do this kind of tinkering. There are some changes that indeed I think are important, such as adding the name of a state that we know is losing its school or having its school consolidated. But just changing words, unless there is a significant improvement or clarification, just so you can say you had a part of it, I just don't think that it helps forward our business very much.
Mr. President, Chris Gray.
Chris?
I'm going to kind of
reiterate what you're saying, and I'm going to ask you, perhaps as chair, maybe you can simply not entertain all of these unnecessary changes that are not substantive.
Well, that's what we're trying, although I think some of them probably do bear positively on the resolution, Chris, but we're trying.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. President?
All those in favor...
Mr. President?
Call for the
all
question.
Those in favor
Mr.
of the resolution... I'm not going to recognize you, sir, until I hear a name.
Lester Ketterling from North Dakota.
Lester, you are now recognized.
Sorry, I didn't understand that. My apologies. One comment, and then I want to make a striking of one word out of this resolution. No, it's a significant word in my language. But anyway, I just want to tell you people, I come from the state of North Dakota. We have been without a residential school for over 20 years. We use our technology as a resource center, and I can tell you in North Dakota, we would not get to first base with the residential school anymore. For economics reasons, and I know the school for the deaf is going through that same process, or will be, because they got in trouble with the legislature two years ago. But anyway.
We're losing the battery here. I'm declaring your comments out of order. This is not about economics. This is about schools for the blind,
the only,
sir.
The only other thing I want, there was used the word specious arguments.
Again, this is the kind of wordsmithing that does not substantively change the resolution.
Elsie Monty. I would like to say we know the dangers. We know the facts. We know what's happening in our residential school system. Let's get busy and pass this resolution.
All those in favor of adopting this resolution, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion is adopted. Resolution is adopted.
Mr. President, Ray Campbell.
Ray Campbell.
As chairman of the, as a person honored to be chair of the newly created Task Force on Residential Schools for the Blind, I just want to commit to this convention that I have heard the context of this resolution. We will certainly be looking at all of these things, and I can commit to you that as a proud graduate of a residential school for the blind that we're going to take a good hard look at this and come back just as soon as we possibly can with some good strategies, not only for ACB, but also for our state affiliates to use to work on this. Thank you.
It is turn up three. Sorry. I'm switching out mics here.
There's nothing like the battery has gotten weak, so I'm basically, We are approaching 2:45. Judy, how many resolutions do we have left?
One moment. Let me check.
If I
have counted correctly, I believe we only have two. I believe that's right. Let me just make sure, because
What I'm proposing, folks, is if we have three or less that we not break, we might be able to get out of here in the next 20 minutes or so.
Now, Mr. President, I am not including the thank yous in that number.
Mr. President, I would move that the thank you resolutions be adopted as a block.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of adopting the thank you resolutions in toto, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
The convention program?
Yes. All right.
From Penny? Yes.
Let's go.
All right, Mr. President, I believe that we only have two left. All right. And this one is Resolution 0921, and it is on teacher preparation, and it is brought to us by Florida Council of the Blind. Whereas Florida State University chose to eliminate significant elements of its vision training programs earlier this spring, and this constitutes one of several program closures over the past few years, including a significant reduction of program at Portland State University, and whereas there is already a huge shortage of teachers specifically trained to serve children who are blind or visually impaired in our school systems throughout the country, and whereas over the next few years, many of the qualified vision teachers will reach retirement age and will cease to be available as teachers of visually impaired children, and whereas this eventuality constitutes an exacerbation of an already intractable problem, now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind and Convention assembled this 10th day of July at the Rosen Center Hotel in Orlando, Florida, that this organization deeply regrets the decision taken by Florida State University and other colleges and universities to eliminate programs or parts of programs intended to provide specialized training, which is now becoming more and more difficult to find. And be it further resolved that this organization asks the Department of Education to work cooperatively with colleges and universities throughout the country to create or expand programs that will assure that teachers who must work with blind and visually impaired children can receive the specialized training they need to provide effective instruction in orientation and mobility, Braille, listening skills, home and personal management, and access technology, without which such children will not be able to access a free and appropriate public education. And be it further resolved that the American Council of the Blind, the American Foundation for the Blind, and the Association for the Education and Rehabilitation of Blind and Visually Impaired are hereby encouraged to work collaboratively to develop and implement specific proposals which shall be submitted to appropriate authorities. Be it further resolved that, at a minimum, such proposals shall include the development of priority funding for teacher preparation stipends that will support students training as vision teachers and the strengthening of regulations at the federal and state levels, which will preclude the retention of out-of-field teachers who do not receive specialized credentialing within 3 years of the date they are hired. The committee recommends a due pass.
Karen Campbell, Illinois, with a point of clarification, please.
We have a motion from the committee to adopt the resolution. Karen Campbell.
In the first whereas clause, you refer to Portland State. There's more than one city by the name of Portland. What state, please? And I think that needs to be in there for clarification of where we mean.
Karen, the university is Portland State, and the only university by that name is in Portland, Oregon. So I think it's pretty well understood. I don't think Portland, Maine has a Portland State. I could be wrong, but don't believe it does. So
okay, that was my point. As long as it's understood. I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's the West Coast, Portland.
Elsie Monty.
Elsie?
Yes. Instead of proposals for teachers, should that be guidelines, specific guidelines for teachers instead of proposals?
Judy, what is that? Well, no, it's not. I want to know whether, I think Elsie's asking whether that, in fact, is the appropriate language.
That's correct.
Which?
Instead of proposals that might be made for teachers, guidelines for professional teachers or something like that.
No. Hang on, Elsie. I'm asking Judy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. What the reasoning was for that particular language, and whether you think Elsie's proposal to change it clarifies it.
I think we could be minded to put specific guidelines, and I'll defer to somebody else on my committee I think we'd be okay with guidelines.
Mr.
Okay,
President?
I'm agreed.
Mr. Edwards.
This resolution came initially from Florida, and so I had a hand in writing it. I don't think that guidelines will fit here because we are not interested at this point in developing standards for teachers. Somebody else gets to do that. What we are interested in doing is creating a set of proposals which we can forward to the Department of Education and other entities that will hopefully make some of the things that we list in our last resolved clause happen.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Thank you
for that clarification, Mr. Edwards. I agree.
All right, very good. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of adopting the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The resolution is adopted.
One moment.
We have been led to believe this is the last one. I want to commend the diehard souls who have stuck it out throughout the day. I think we've had a pretty good set of discussions on these various resolutions. We got a lot of nitpickers, but when I sat out there, I could be kind of nitpicky myself. So I'm not unsympathetic. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. All right. This is, pulled up the wrong one. Sorry about that. One second. Okay. This is going to be resolution 18.
Oops is not part of our numbering normally.
Not usually. Resolution 0918, and it's on MOPICS, M-O-P-I-C-S, and it's brought to us by Florida Council of the Blind. Whereas MOPICS is a system which enables audio description to be provided in movie theaters, and whereas for the past 15 years, people who are blind and visually impaired have utilized audio description, which has substantially enriched their experience of movies, television programs, and museum visits. And whereas, for a variety of reasons, the system which is being used to provide audio description is often not available or effective, and whereas ineffective transmission technology, a failure to effectively advertise audio described movies and or theaters showing movies with audio description, a failure to provide adequate training to staff, and a lack of awareness among people who are blind of the availability of this option all constitute reasons why the system is not widely or effectively valued and utilized. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled on this 10th day of July, 2009, at the Rosen Center Hotel in Orlando, Florida, that this organization calls upon the Board of Directors to work in collaboration with the audio description, excuse me, got some translation. Okay, here we go. With its audio description project to develop and implement a plan that will address these and other problems that are limiting the acceptance and effective utilization of this technology. And be it further resolved that personnel at WGBH who initially developed this technology and leaders of movie chains who have agreed to deploy it shall be actively involved in the process of implementing this plan to make MOPIX more effective and valued. And be it further resolved that all parties shall work to assure the transition to digital systems in theaters continues to encourage and expand the availability of audio description for movies that are to be shown in the theaters. And be it further resolved that the American Council of the Blind commit to collaborate with elements of the government, movie producers and distributors, and developers of digital technology in an ongoing effort to assure that the movies being described for use in theaters can be made available on DVD discs or via download for people who are blind but cannot access movies in theaters. The committee recommends a do pass.
All right, we have a motion from the committee for a do pass. Any discussion?
Mr. President, this is Marcia Dresser.
Marcia.
Point of clarification, MOPIX is spelled M-O-P-I-X, not M-O-P-I-C-K-S.
Oh, thank you, Marcia. I turned to Marlena and said, I've been spelling it wrong all these years, I guess.
I think she's right.
Thanks for that, Marcia. I can't spell that word, apparently. I'm a pretty good speller, too.
I beat you in Scrabble, Paul, just to let the record show.
In the last turn by 10 points.
Elsie Monty.
Elsie.
I have some concerns about documentaries that are captioned in English. Is this another issue, or could something like this be included in this resolution?
Yes, it really is, Elsie.
Okay, thank you. We'll bring it up another time.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion? My tongue doesn't want to work anymore. All those in favor of adopting this resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution is adopted. Is that it, Judy? I want to make sure we don't want to lose one.
Let me just take one quick look, if you will indulge me just one moment.
Bill and Shelley. Let's do a filler door prize.
Let's do that.
Yeah, we've got, actually, while you're getting door prizes together, Lane has an announcement. Lane Waters.
Good afternoon, all.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. For you life members out there who have not yet gotten a drink ticket, we temporarily ran out, but I have four more in my possession. I already took care of you, Marlena.
Okay, thanks.
So if you would come and see me up at the front here when you have a chance, I will check your name off and give you a drink ticket. But four left. If I run out of those, I'm taking names. Thank you.
Judy?
I'm just about...
You're still... All right, Shelley and Bill.
We're ready.
All right.
We have a $25 debit gift card from Florida Council of Citizens with Low Vision.
Okay, the winner is Nancy Rydell from Daytona Beach, Florida.
Not here.
All right. Linda Faust from Largo, Florida.
She is not here now.
Okay.
Mr.
Marcy.
Hold on, Judy. Yes, Bill.
Marcy Tamez, T-A-M-E-Z, from Carrollton, Texas. Carrollton,
is
Texas.
Here?
Is Marcy?
She is here.
Marcy is
right.
Here. All right.
Okay.
All right. That. Hold off, Bill. Judy,
okay.
What's the verdict?
Mr. President, that concludes the resolutions for 2001. Mr. President, may I have a moment of personal privilege for a moment?
Of course.
I would just like to thank my committee. I serve as I chair one of the committees that I think works the hardest during this convention week, and I could not do my job without them. There's Paul Edwards, Jeff Tom, Jill Noble, Mark Reichert, Eric Bridges, Melanie Brunson, Greg Hollins, John Huffman, Gabe Griffith, Becky Williams, and I can't think, Terry Atwater, and I believe that is my committee, if I have forgotten anybody. Charlie Hodge, yes, of course. I'm sorry, Charlie. It was, but I just want to thank my committee. And
let's have order, folks.
And we've gotten it done another year.
And I want to thank Judy and the other members of the committee. I did this for 17 years, and I chaired it for 3, and it is one of the toughest jobs, perhaps after the job that Carla has to keep the convention rolling along fairly smoothly, this might be the second toughest job at the convention. So personal thank you to the members of the committee and Judy Jackson. Is there, yes, give them a round of applause. Is there any old business to come before the membership? All right, hearing none. Is there any new business?
Mr. President, John Wheatley.
John Wheatley.
From Missouri.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to, if I could take just a minute or two. My wife Donna and I were among those who went to the Epcot Center yesterday, and if I could just comment on it just a little bit of what a great experience it was, and to commend ACB and Disney for putting this together so that we could demonstrate this. Disney was great to us and with us, and I think I can speak for the 35 people or so who went there that we all thought it was a rewarding experience. Is the system perfect? No, it is not. But I'm really proud of the members who went there, because we pulled no punches when they asked us what we thought. We didn't just say it was wonderful. We offered good, constructive criticism about the device, about how it might have been designed better. We addressed the issue of the $100 deposit, and we thought that that needed to be modified and some other things. But the overall, what we saw, we were very encouraged by, and I hope that ACB will continue to push this issue with Disney. I think Disney's very serious about doing it, and I hope we continue to work on this. And it was a great experience for us to be able to demonstrate it and to show them what we, the users of the system, think about it. And that was great that they really wanted our input into it, not just, this is what we want you to have. No, this is what they really want to know what we thought about it. It was a great experience, and I thank you for letting us do that.
Karen. All right, any new business to come before us?
Yes, Mr. Karen President. Campbell. I don't know if this mic is working.
It is, Karen. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know whether this has to be done in the form of a motion or not, but I would like to see Constitution and bylaw amendments made available as a general rule for download, like to a thumb drive at future conventions. Do we need a motion for that, or will that just be done as a matter of course?
They were, Karen. I'm being told by several here that they were.
Mr. President, Jay Bader from Florida. Can I just make that a clarification on that?
Yes, Jay.
I made very sure, Karen, that they were made available with Jim Shaw at the information desks. They were available in text file format.
Okay, thank you. I didn't get myself to the desk soon enough then.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. President, Doug Powell from Virginia.
Doug.
A situation came to my attention, and I don't know if this is something that needs to be handled generally or if it was just a glitch. There were members of the Printing and Engraving, U.S. Office of Printing and Engraving here the other day, demonstrating some of the materials that they're looking at for accessible currency. It was not listed in the program, and it was also not listed in the daily newspapers that I was aware of. And they did have a salon, so it was a registered event of the convention. Was that a glitch, or do I need to make some kind of a motion that if a session does not make the program, that it needs to be in the daily newspaper?
Doug, what goes into the daily newspaper is not under our authority. We put in the newspaper, or Sharon puts in the newspaper, what people bring to her. So
this is not, the newspaper is not an official publication of the ACB convention?
It certainly is a publication of the convention, but we don't drive what goes into it, if you catch the difference here.
Mr. President,
Carla. Oh, come to my rescue, Carla.
Yeah, okay. I'll try, Mr. President. First of all, you should be aware, Doug, that we were not contacted by the Bureau of Engraving until a week before this convention to get a space to put their activity. It really is kind of the responsibility of groups that are coming in at the last minute to give us information. We are not qualified to write up their material. They came at the very last minute. They pretty much gave us no information. They were just kind of here. And so if I agree that there wasn't information that should have been, we do try very hard to get announcements made for people who come in at the last minute, but we just plain can't be responsible for everybody. And when people come in, they need to take a little responsibility for themselves.
That being understood, Mr. President, I would like to make a motion that the board of directors take a look at a vehicle for conveying last-minute information that after the program is closed, and how to convey it to the members at the convention in written form.
I'm going to rule your motion out of order. It is not our responsibility as a board of directors. It isn't. The publication of information through the newspaper is a function of the Board of Publications, and if no one tells them, if no one brings the announcement to them, how are they supposed to know? They didn't know. And we found out a week ago, and with I just think with everything else going on at the convention, I think what you're asking is just not realistic. I agree It would have been nice to know. I found out about it about the time Carla did, and guess what? It got lost in the shuffle of overseeing the convention. What I would say is, what we can try to do is when this sort of thing happens, and for example, last year when the consultant came to do the testing, that individual helped us publicize this event. What we can try to do in future is to say to folks who do this, provide us with a release, provide us with the information. I think that's honestly the best we can do.
Mr. President, Melanie Brunson.
Melanie?
I want to speak directly to the specific issue that Doug raised, because I want folks to know that I personally talked to those people and told them what they needed to do. And I was wondering what happened to them. I didn't know they were here. And so they had the information they could have used to get their information in the paper, because I know I gave it to them.
Mr. President, this is Carla Hayes of McMurray, Pennsylvania.
Carla.
And at first I want to compliment everybody on a great convention. But I would like to ask, are you prepared, or Carla or somebody, we were told that next year's convention was the second week of July, but is anybody prepared to give us the exact dates and the hotel information yet where we can make reservations, the name of the hotel and the phone number? Thank you.
Carla Hayes, that's a Carla Rushable question. Carla Rushable, can you provide that?
Mr. Chairman, it's the 3rd of July through the 10th of July, and we will publish the number when the hotel is ready to accept reservations.
Mr. President,
so
Deanna Noriega.
Hang on, Deanna. So it's the 3rd through the 10th. No, it isn't. That's not the 3rd.
I'm sorry. The 10th of July through the 17th. Well, if you come a week early, guess what? You'll have a good time, and then you'll leave just as everybody else is showing up.
July 10th through 17th, the
right.
Hotel is not yet ready to take reservations.
Mr. President?
What are the rates, Carla?
89
per night. Deanna?
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who has supported my family. My daughter is being released from the hospital this afternoon, and we've made arrangements to fly her home. So thank you so much for all the support you gave us.
Mr. President, I know you have some more business maybe to do. I want to tell you we have batteries in all the microphones, but they're starting to go. So if one of them starts to leave, please go to another microphone, because we're just not going to be able to change them out that quickly.
All right.
Mr. President, will name tags be recycled?
No.
Your name, please?
Josette Kernan. I'm sorry.
What's happening with name tags, Carla?
We're not recycling, I don't believe.
We're not recycling.
Name tags. And let me explain. It takes more time to clean off the sticky, where the ribbons are, and more time to just sort through. Then the staff time is not worth the time, the amount that it costs for a new tag.
All right. We haven't really had new business per se.
Sorry.
We've just had some questions, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a call to adjourn?
No.
All those in favor?
No.
Well, then, please give your name and state your business.
This is Linda DeLong. I want to say something.
I went
to the Friends and Arts Showcase, and I had my listening device, but the transmitter was not on. I did not hear a thing. And the where we had a lot of tables, we usually sit in chairs, and it was so noisy. You couldn't hear anything if you wanted to. So I think it should be in a different way. next year, because we did not get to hear anything. Thanks.
All right. We deal.
Mr. Chairman,
we'll have
Charlie,
a lot to talk about tomorrow at the post-convention board meeting.
Mr. Chairman, Charlie Hodge from Virginia.
Charlie.
By the way, congratulations, Mr. Chairman, on your reelection.
Thank you, Charlie.
And I wanted, since we did not have an occasion to have a record vote at this convention, I'm just wondering what is in your mind about doing the experiment that the voting task force wanted to do.
I got to tell you, someone told me this may be the first convention where there was not one record vote. So I am going to get together with the chair, Jeff Tom, and we will figure out some way, perhaps maybe even set up some kind of straw vote on an issue. And the president's meeting would certainly lend itself to trying that. That's a good idea, Jeff, if you're there. Maybe we can set that up for the president's meeting. Good idea. So we fully expected when we went into this year that somewhere along the way there would be a record vote. Who knew?
Mr. President.
Mr. President, Ray Campbell.
Ray Campbell.
What do, as we're getting close to the end here, what do people do with their assistive listening devices when they're done with them?
All right. Lane Waters, are you collecting those somewhere?
I will be at the banquet, the tail end of the banquet. I will be at the tail end of the banquet, and you'll be able to turn your ALDs in at that time, and I'll return your deposit.
Mr. President? Josette Kernan.
If you're not going to the banquet and you want to turn it in, I'll be up here in front for a while, and then I'll also be back in registration because we have a lot of packing to do, and I'll take care of you back there.
Mr. President?
All right, Lane will be up front, the front of the hall. If you're not going to the banquet, if you're going to the banquet, hold on to them and turn them in later. If Lane is not here when you come up, he'll be in the registration area, packing up. Just holler. Well, quietly. Josette?
Mr. President, Josette here. I'd like to make a quick announcement and a couple of thank yous. I still have candy left, and I'm in 227. I'd like to thank Walmart for the excellent job they did helping people get their groceries. They were very helpful to me. And I'd also like to thank Red's Deli, the lady's name was Lorraine, for holding my ice cream for the social. It was wonderful, and I took her a gift of goodies, too, last night. So.
All right.
And also the paratransit has been very helpful. Thank you.
Right. We've had a motion to adjourn. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. The 2009 Convention of the American Council of the Blind stands adjourned.
And if you want to win a door prize, you may want to stay in the room. We have a few door prizes left.
Boy, here we go. A few more.
Yeah, you can call door prizes, but folks need to go.
And then I have to boogie, and you do too.
Yeah, we both do. So we'll let the door prizes be announced.
Let's turn them back in. We'll do them tonight, okay?
That's a good idea.
What did he say?
They're just going to hold off and do them tonight at the banquet.
Okay, so we're not going to do them now.
Nope.
All right.
So we'll fade that down. And
we'll be back later tonight.
Absolutely.
Oh, they're doing one.
One? Okay.
I don't know anything else about it except it comes from the Smithsonian Collection.
Okay. Marion Howe from Claremont, Delaware.
He's here.
All right. Give it to her. Okay. There's that bowl.
All right, here we go.
Okay, we have another of these poor perfect measuring bowls with cups.
Okay, that goes to Linda Schwartz from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Not here.
Alan Preston.
Not here.
Sandy Wilbur from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Not here.
Ellie Harmon from Los Angeles, California. Susan Litzenfels from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. All right, here we go. There you be sure that's her. All right, we have another one just like that. Here we're going to go. All right, Oral Miller from Washington, D.C. For right here? Okay, there you go. All right, we have some pearls here for the ladies, pearls. All right. Patricia Wolf from Temple City, California. Okay, Leroy Hill from Arroyo, Colorado. Okay, Catherine Johnson from Greeley, Colorado. All right, Steve Dresser from Reading, Maine.
Massachusetts.
All right, Grady Ebert. From Louisiana.
Grady's here.
All right, there you go. Give her the pearls. Okay. All right. We have $25.
Steve Dresser is here. Steve Dresser is here.
Bill, listen, please. Steve Dresser is here.
Going too fast.
Okay. Are you somebody talking to me?
Steve Dresser is here.
What? Say again?
The next prize goes to Grady.
Okay. He got $25 worth of Subway Sop, okay? All right. Now, gang, now y'all going to get interested. $50! From the Arizona Council of the Blind, the winner is Deborah Lewis from Louisville, Kentucky.
Here.
Come on, somebody bring her back. Is that Deborah?
She's here.
Okay, take that to Deborah there. Okay. All right, we got a $50 credit card from Wakava. Is donated by the Clay Council of the Blind. Deborah Lewis. Just called her, okay.
Not here.
All right. Helen Arnold from Palmetto, Florida. All right. Keith Butcher from Reading, West Virginia. Donna Brown from Romney, West Virginia.
Here.
Okay, it's a $50 thing. Check it out. We got Donna. Let's be sure Donna's here.
Yes.
Is Donna here?
West Virginia.
That's all we got, gang. Have a good year. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You can have those. There's plenty of those. Oh, by the way, on the back table, we have some items that you may read, books, and some... a can opener, the bottle opener, and all that kind of good stuff.
This is Billie Jean. This is the last day to buy your Braille Forum tickets. The drawing is tonight. The first prize is $5,000. And you could go with some friends and each put in $10 and have a ticket and win $1,000 each. So I'm standing here right by Kansas, Dorothy, and we're ready to sell you the Braille Forum tickets. This is the last few hours we have the tickets to sell.
This is Alan Moore from Charlotte. Do you have to be present to win?
No, you do not.
Draw my name right now.
Where are you?
North Carolina.
Well, I'm over here in Kansas. Me and Dorothy and Toto. There's about five Totos around. swishing their tails.
Okay, that pretty much is going to conclude it. We're going to go ahead and sign off now, and the replays will be coming up very shortly, right after we kick the server. And stay tuned for the banquet tonight at 2300 UTC. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Time.